All right, this morning I want to talk to you about loving God, loving others. Now, last night I mentioned the verse Matthew chapter 22, started in verse 34. Matthew chapter 22, starting in verse 34. It says, "But when the Pharisees had heard that he had put the Sadducees to silence, they were gathered together. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him, and saying, 'Master, which is the best commandment in the law?' Jesus said unto him, 'Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets.' While the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them, saying, 'What think ye of Christ? Whose son is he?' They say unto him, 'The son of David.' He said unto them, 'How then doth David in spirit call him Lord, saying, The Lord said unto my Lord, Sit thou on my right hand till I make thine enemies thy footstool. If David then call him Lord, how is he his son?' No man was able to answer him a word, neither durst any man from that day forth ask him any more questions." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this morning. We thank you, Lord, for this week of camp. We ask you to continue to work in our hearts and challenge us to apply these lessons, these messages to our lives. Lord, last night you showed us that if we choose to love you, if we choose your Son to be our Savior, and we say that we love you, then we are to follow your commandments. And if we don't, you call us a liar. This morning, Lord, we ask you to show us how to love others, because we love you. And I was praying in Jesus' name, amen. Now, I mentioned last night when my wife and I were courting, when we were dating in college, I believe I said the second date, I told her I love her. And then she said, "Shut up, you don't know what love is." It was actually, I talked to my wife last night, it was actually the first date. The first date I told her I love her, I held her hand, I said, "I love you." And she said, "Shut up, you don't know what love is." So, she corrected me. But we discovered last night what love is. Love is an attitude of action. Love is not just saying you love somebody. It's not an emotion that the world would have you to believe. Love takes action. All throughout the entire Bible, God's Word, we see that love takes action. We know that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, an action. We know that Jesus loved us so much, He died on the cross for us. He shed His blood for us. And through grace and mercy, we're given the choice to be free from our sin bondage. That took action. So this morning, we realize that the first and greatest commandment is loving God. It's not just loving God. In verse 37, Jesus said, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind." If we are to love others, it's not just making friends and loving them. It's not just because we're family, we have to love our family. It's loving others, our neighbors. And who is our neighbors? Our neighbors are anybody we come in contact with. Okay? The first thing we have to recognize is we have to make love a priority in our lives. We have to make love a priority in our lives. Look with me again in verse 37 through 39. It says, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. The second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." The second greatest commandment is to love our neighbors with all our mind, with all our heart, and with all our soul like we do with God. We are to love our neighbor as we love ourselves. Do any of us actually go around hitting ourselves, torturing ourselves? No. We want the best for ourselves, don't we? We want the best shoes, the best clothes, the best phone, the best whatever. We should want the best for others too. In 1 John chapter 3, verse 11, you don't have to turn there, I'll read it for you. It says, "For this is the message that ye heard from the beginning, that we should love one another." God's Word commands us to love people. It's easy to love people when they're your family or they're your friends. But sometimes even your family and your friends get on your nerves. They irritate you. They annoy you. I know, because we have three children. I have a daughter who's 14 years old. We have a son who's 12. We have another son who's 8 years old. Now, my two youngest boys, sometimes they get to talking. They talk about Pokemon. They talk about Batman. They talk about Lego. And they talk nonstop. They're like their Uncle Jody, my wife's younger brother. He's always talking. And sometimes you tell them, be quiet, and it's like a challenge to them. So say, I take on your challenge. I'm going to talk more. I say, no, that's not the challenge. The challenge is, you be quiet. Okay? God's Word commands us to love people. We are to love people even when we think we can't. We need to make that a priority. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 3, it says, "And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and I have not charity, it profiteth me nothing." That word charity means love. You can do all kinds of stuff for other people. You can give them gifts. But if it's not with love, that gift means nothing. My wife is the best gift giver because she remembers what you like. She remembers if you go to the mall and you see something you like, she stores that in the back of her mind, and then when it comes to your birthday or Christmas or something, she remembers that and she goes and gets it. I'm the exact opposite. You tell me you like something, I say, great, that's wonderful, that's awesome. And I forget about it. And then when it comes to your birthday or something special comes up in your life, I actually have to sit there and ask you, I say, what did you want? You have to make me a list. Because if you don't make me a list, I don't know what to get you. I just get you whatever I think. And then it'll be the wrong thing. My wife tells me every year, she goes, for her birthday is on February 10th. Valentine's Day is February 14th. Our daughter's birthday is February 2nd. This comes after like Christmas. And my older son is his birthday is on December 16th. My mother's birthday is December 18th. My oldest brother's birthdays are on New Year's Eve. And then you have Christmas. So by the time we get to my wife's birthday, we're either out of money or I'm just out of ideas of what to get. So I sit there and it seems like I wait till the last minute and I'll wait till like the week before her birthday and I say, "What do you want for your birthday?" I try to be tactful about it. I try to say it in a way where it doesn't sound like I'm wanting to know what she wants for her birthday. I mean, "Would you like to have this for your birthday?" And she catches on. And then when I give her a gift, she says, "You waited to the last minute." And she gets mad at me. That's what 1 Corinthians chapter 13, 3 says. You can do all the things. You can burn your body. You can feed the poor. You can do all of this. But if it's without love, it means nothing. It's empty. Okay. You can say to somebody, "I love you." You can do things for them. But if you don't truly love them, it's empty. It has no value. Jesus gave love priority over all other Christian virtues. That should tell us that loving others should be a major priority in our lives. Every thought, response, and act of goodwill must first pass through the fine filter of love, or it means nothing at all. Loving God and loving others, not only do we make love a priority, but we have to understand the importance of love. Look at verse 40. It says, "On these two commandments hangs all the law and the prophets." That's how important these two commandments were. Jesus says that if we truly love God, then we should be loving our neighbors too. And as we love our neighbors and we love God, we will naturally keep the commandments. This is looking at God's law positively. Sometimes we look at rules, we look at regulations as something that's holding us back. If I was to draw a picture of a house where the roof is on the bottom and the foundation of the house is on top, and I drew a sun, and I drew a guy or a stick figure on top of the sun, is that correct or wrong? Why is it wrong? How do you know that?
It's too hot.
How do you know it's too hot?
The temperature is really high.
How do you know the temperature is too high? We know what's right and wrong because of rules. Or, if you want to make it spiritual, God's standards. We know that the roof shouldn't be at the bottom. The foundation shouldn't be at the top. And if you stand on the sun, you'll burn. You'll be really tan. You'll be like a black toast. Okay? Rules aren't there to hurt us. Rules aren't there to confine us. Rules give us freedom. God's standard gives us freedom. If we are to look at God's law positively in that perspective, then we know that when we show love to our neighbors and we respond to God in love, we know we're doing the right thing. Rather than worrying about all that we should not be doing, we should concentrate on all that we can do to show our love for God and others. John 14:15 says, If you love me, keep my commandments. John 13:34 says, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another, as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. A new commandment. And people would know that you are his disciple and Lord, and that disciple of the Lord. Romans 13:10 says, love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore love is the fulfilling of the law. How easy is it to excuse our indifference to others merely because we have no legal obligation to help them? You're not legally obligated to help a homeless person or somebody in need. You don't have to. But if you love God and you love this person and you want to show them God's love, you will help them. It doesn't matter what they're going to use the money for. It doesn't matter what they're going to do. You're doing what you're supposed to do. It is even easy to justify harming them if our actions are technically legal. We could say, well, it was out of self-defense. The person broke into my house, so out of self-defense, I had to protect myself. But Jesus does not leave loopholes in his law of love. Whenever love demands it, we are to go beyond human legal requirements and imitate the God of love. We also see that loving God and loving others also means embody the distinguishing nature of love. In John 13:35, it says, by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. When we love all people, people see that we are Jesus' disciples. We're like a billboard, an advertisement for Jesus, for the Lord. In 1 John 4:16-17, it says, and we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because because as he is, so are we in this world. God's actual character is love. Sometimes you hear people say, well, if God is real, if God is really God, then why is there pain? Why is there sickness? Why is there bad things in life? God is also a judge. And God is also love. Bad things in life happen because of sin. Sin has entered this world. We are the billboard advertisement for God to an onlooking world. If you go down Orchard Road and you see all the malls, you see that big screen, they advertise the movies and they advertise all the commercials. If you think of yourself as one of those billboards, you will see, will people stop and see, and they see Jesus in you? Will they see God in you? Or will they just see another person who claims to be a Christian? if our lives do not imitate God and our lives do not show the love of God, then everybody else will look at us and says, well, you're no different than the Buddhists. You're no different than the Muslim. You're no different than the Hindu. You're no different than the Taoists. You're just all talk and no action. I'll share you a story about a missionary to East Africa. Her name was Ira Gillett. Ira Gillett was a missionary to East Africa. Now, when she was in East Africa, she noticed that there was clinics in every village. But she noticed that the villagers were going far and wide. They would walk miles to this one missionary clinic. And she finally asked the people at the missionary clinic one time, and she asked the people that were coming one time, why do you walk so many miles to the missionary clinic when you have a clinic in your own village? They have the same medicine, they'll treat you the same way. And the response from the people was, the medicine may be the same, but the hands are different. What they noticed was at the missionary clinic, people care for them. People love them. People not only minister to their physical need, but they were sharing God's love to them. People would notice if you truly love them. And the last thing is, demonstrate the virtue of love. Love values the other person. You know, in my 16 years of marriage with my wife, we have 3 children now. I tell her all the time I love her, but sometimes I get so caught up in what I'm doing and preparing messages and everything, that there'd be a couple of days or maybe a day or two where I don't pay attention. I don't look at her. I don't seem to listen to what she has to tell me. And it makes her feel like she's not valuable anymore. The world would have you believe that love is a feeling. It has to do with sentimentality or gratification. But God's Word shows us that love is primarily an active interest in the well-being of another person. John chapter 3, verse 16. Everybody's pretty much familiar with this verse. God loved us because He has something to offer us. Do you realize that God loved you before you were formed in your mother's belly? Before you were born, God loved you. Before you were even here on earth, God provided a way for you to be free from your sin bondage. Everyone around us is of incredible value to God as a potential object of His mercy. People matter to God, and they should matter to us. Love entails a cost. It's going to cost you to love somebody. By loving somebody, you would have to make yourself vulnerable. You would have to allow yourself to get hurt at times. Jesus wasn't always accepted by everyone. Even today, He's not accepted by everyone. The Sadducees, the Pharisees, the religious leaders and Jewish leaders, they all rejected Him. The ones who received Him were the least among them. The ones that people looked down on, they were the ones who received Him. The measure of maturity is our love for God and our love for others. If we fail in our love, we have misread what it means to be a Christian. There's this song, I don't remember all the words. I'm the worst with singing songs. I have no rhythm, nothing. My wife is the musician in our family. But I think it's the Grow song. Anybody knows the Grow song? I will grow, grow, grow. You guys know that song? What? Pray every day, pray every day. Read your Bible, pray every day. And you'll grow, grow, grow. And you'll grow, grow, grow. Grow, grow, grow. Read your Bible, pray every day. And you'll grow, grow, grow. What's the rest of the song?
Neglect your Bible.
Forget to pray. Neglect your Bible. Forget to pray. And you'll shrink. And you'll shrink. Your Bible, forget to pray, and you'll shrink. That is true. Just because you found Jesus doesn't mean you stop seeking Him. Just because you receive Christ as your Savior, that's not the end of it. That's just the beginning of your walk with Christ. The more we pray, the more we read His Word, the more we can love Him, and the more we can show His love to others. Let's pray.